Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
All right, folks, welcome to the show. Sunday fun day, so you know we're going to go through the NFL coverage. It's a good day if you are Jim Harbaugh, because he banked a very sizable bonus for beating Ohio State yesterday. We got World Cup action going on as well, but we are going to get to the NFL action. And I know some of you were talking about, what about Kirk Cousins? And I talked about this on the show. If you got, like, sometimes y'all don't pay attention close enough. I said the scenario was the Pats were going to try to shut down Dalvin Cook, which is what they tried to do, and dared Kirk Cousins to beat him. I just happened to be on the side of the argument that Kirk probably wasn't going to be able to beat the Pats just chucking it. He almost threw a couple of pick sixes. He threw a pick, but he had a couple of chances for a pick, shots at throwing pick sixes that worked out in his favor, and the Pats couldn't punish him. He was given opportunities to chuck it to Justin Jefferson and made a shorter pass, intermediary pass work with Adam Thielen. But the simple fact of the matter is the Pats could not punish Cousins when it mattered in terms of getting those turnovers and getting a short field for themselves. So that's how they ended up getting shredded by the Vikings' passing game and losing that game. I mean, that's really what it came down to. They couldn't get the turnovers that they were banking on. I mean, that's why they were giving Kirk Cousins those opportunities to go into those passing lanes, because they thought they could get the turnovers. It just didn't work out. Anyway, let's get right down to it. My favorite game of the day, Washington hosting Atlanta. Why is it my favorite game of the day? Because everyone's going to be concentrating on some of these afternoon matchups, especially the Chargers game, which I get. Especially for DFS, I totally get it. People are going to want to be playing the Chiefs as well. I totally get it. I totally get the matchups, why folks want to concentrate on this. Why do I like the Commanders-Falcons game? Simple reason. Falcons, one of the worst secondaries in the league, and they give up the most points to the wide receiver ones, starting wide receivers on NFL teams in the league. If you are a wide receiver one on a roster, chances are you're going to have a very nice day. The wide receiver one on Washington, Terry McLaurin. What's Terry McLaurin's receiving prop today? 62.5. Way too low, given the amount of yards that Atlanta has given up on the year to start the number lead wide receiver. They've given up over 80 yards receiving to leading wide receivers the entire year. So to me, I look at that prop. I look at the stats that Atlanta secondary has put up this year against the primary targets. This is way too easy of a matchup. And I look at this and say, I'm hammering props for Terry McLaurin. I'm also parlaying some props with Taylor Heinicke because his passing yards prop is 212 yards. People keep asking me about how Mike White's going to do for the Jets, and I keep looking at it saying it's one of the more irrelevant questions because even at 4,900 on DraftKings, Taylor Heinicke has so much of a higher floor, I mean higher ceiling and floor, to be honest, than Mike White because of the fact that you know the Jets want to run the football and to go with that defense. They just need to be able to pass a little bit, which is what they couldn't get with Zach Wilson. The Commanders, yeah, they'd like to run the ball more, but they aren't particularly good at it. And when you know your opponent can't stop a nosebleed in the passing attack, why wouldn't they take advantage of the fact that they got Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel? I don't even have an issue playing Curtis Samuel. The Commanders are way too cheap in terms of fantasy output. So for me, this is the game to target of the day. The Commanders are 4.5-point favorites. We've seen action go back on the Atlanta side to bring the line down to 3.5. I like the Commander side of this. I think this is at home. They get to throw on Atlanta. I mean, they are more than comfortable playing some of these types of matchups. I think Commanders have a very solid day. Heinicke, I expect to be closer to 230 yards passing, anywhere from 230 to 240, a couple touchdowns. And you may say, well, that doesn't sound like a tremendous day. But when you look at his price tag, he's 5'4 on DraftKings. He's 5,400. Some of these expensive quarterbacks, people are going to jam in Justin Herbert at 7K. From a game theory perspective, if everyone's on Justin Herbert, it's a hard sell unless you're playing one of these Washington guys, because there are two ways you can go about it. If you're only doing small stacks, you can play some of the Chargers guys, but realistically, you're not going to be any different from the field. You have to find ways of getting different, and the way you get different is you play Washington. So I actually like playing Taylor Heinicke, and then you can run it back with some Chargers pieces in the afternoon slate. We'll get to that game, but I'm just saying from a fantasy perspective, you got to look at Terry McLaurin, you got to look at Curtis Samuel. Logan Thomas is a fine piece too, but don't forget about Antonio Gibson, because Antonio Gibson catches all the receptions for the Commanders, and so from a dump-off pass standpoint, you can actually consider him in the running back spot, because this is an extremely chalky week. We got a bunch of budget-price running backs that are going to get a ton of ownership that I will get to, namely coming up in this game with the Jets. I just talked about Mike White coming in for Zach Wilson. Jets severely favored over the Bears. The line is officially up to 7 now. You could have gotten action on this well beforehand because, to me, it was obvious Justin Fields wasn't starting. It was one of those bets where I just got in on it because I just felt this was a pretty clear why the hell would the Bears risk it. The line stayed low for quite some time. I mean, you still could have gotten in on some of that action by right before Thanksgiving to get in there in terms of the betting markets. They still were not quite up to the 5 range yet. So, just saying, in this matchup, the Bears starting Trevor Siemian, no interest in any of the Bears. I don't think this game is particularly close. I think the Jets just run the ball, play smart on defense, and just grind on the Bears. I think this Bears team they can be had. They can absolutely wilt, And when that scenario pops up, the question becomes, realistically, what do we expect out of the Jets offense? And I think they just go ultra conservative and just keep running the football with Michael Carter. I don't see a big receiving day from the likes of Garrett Wilson. I mean, Corey Davis is back, but it's not as though Mike White is going to be throwing for a ton of yards. I don't get folks a fascination with Mike White other than they just don't want to see Zach Wilson. Believe me, Zach Wilson was horrendous at time management and everything else related to playing the quarterback position. So I get it. But realistically, this is a non-factor from a fantasy perspective. I think it's play Michael Carter at 5,400, play the Jets defense at 3,300, and move on with your day. Even Tyler Conklin, whom I had interest in earlier in the week, was around 3K. But, you know, as we started getting more news throughout the week, even tight end, with all the value that's opened up in the some of the skill position places, you can pay up to get to Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce, in my opinion. So there just really isn't a ton of rationale to play some of these dudes unless you just got a true conviction play. So to me, yeah, Jets, I mean, even with the minus seven, I think the Jets cover that one as well. So I'm not concerned about the line movement. Baltimore traveling to Jacksonville. This is a game I'm worried about. Baltimore could have easily lost to Carolina last week. It was Baker Mayfield just being awful that led to Baltimore like eventually securing that win. But they were not solid throughout that game. They struggled mightily. Jacksonville is a better team than you would look at on paper. Travis Etienne continues to get a ton of work. The Jags are better served by not giving him so much work, but I think the Jags are strictly looking at us from, can we determine if this guy is going to be a true franchise running back? I am not sold on that considering they had James Robinson, but they went in a different direction. Am I picking for an upset? No, I still think the Ravens cover the 3.5. But if the Ravens hadn't looked so poor against Carolina, you better believe that this line would be closer to 5.5. The fact that, you know, it did not creep up the way you would have expected to is more a reflection of even the general public and odds makers aren't as sold on what you're getting out of the Ravens. And I got to be honest, it's really hard making the math work because Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's 8K on DraftKings. The only guy more expensive is Patrick Mahomes. And you don't have real passing options outside of Mark Andrews to go with. Yes, they've been using DeMarcus Robinson more. That should tell you all you need to know. I mean, there just really aren't that many options that Lamar has to throw to, and it's becoming an issue as we get later in the year, and Mark Andrews is increasingly banged up. So, yeah, not interested in the Ravens side. Definitely not interested in the Jags side, unless you want to do a contrarian play and play Travis Etienne, because he's about 6,900, and the Jags defense at 2,500 to get contrarian off of what should be a relative of a popular play between folks that play Lamar and Mark Andrews together. So I think it gives you a little bit of a pivot from that typical build. And so, yeah, that's really all I got there. Denver and Carolina, I mean, this is, turn the page. I mean, this is a rough matchup. Not much going on here. Carolina, 2.5 point underdogs at home. Russell, I mean, he played okay against the Raiders last week. Nothing great. There's just not anything there that interests me from the Denver side. Yes, Melvin Gordon got released, and so that creates opportunities for Latavius Murray at 5K. But I still think you're going to get more tinkering from the Denver side in terms of offense, that they are far from a safe play. Going on to the next game, we've got Cincinnati and Tennessee. Tennessee, 1.5 point underdog to the Bengals. Listen, I am closer to being on the Tennessee side of things than I am to the Bengals side. To me, this is more of a stay-away type of game. But for the sake of making a pick, I would pick the Tennessee side with Derrick Henry, using him as a battering ram against that Bengals defensive line that has been exposed at times with the run, just because they tend to be a little bit more undersized than the average NFL team. So, to me, not as crazy on this one. Jamar Chase still out for the Bengals, so it's still going to be T. Higgins. I think you know, the pricing has starting to come up that it's not nearly as of a lift in what you might have gotten in the past. So, yeah, my whole stance is this Bengals team is still struggling without Jamar Chase. I do think that Tennessee, you know, as rough as Tannehill has looked in certain spots, Tennessee is still actively engaged and being very, very aggressive on defense. I think their physicality gives the Bengals trouble. No Joe Mixon is also a huge blow to the Bengals. Samaje Perine is not an every down back for a reason. So I just think that there are enough avenues here where, yeah, I'd stay away from the game normally, but this is a game where I think, you know, straight up, I think Tennessee gets a W here. Miami hosting Houston, complete mismatch. You've got Miami almost a 2-touchdown favorite. They're at 13.5. Texans, they are benching Davis Mills. Looks like Kyle Allen's getting the start. I don't expect too much different, but I'll probably run one contrarian lineup with Allen and some of the stud wide receivers you can get to him with his price tag. But yeah, it's definitely tough in my opinion in terms of some of these matchups, because we got some really straightforward picks, and yeah, the line's influencing some decisions, but you've already seen these teams enough where we're kind of past the first half of the year. You got a sense of who's at least in competition for the playoffs, who is basically already calling it a lost cause. This is one of those cases where we've got a lost cause and not that much good news. So to me, I look at this as a case where Texans travel to Miami and get shellacked. I definitely am on the Jeff Wilson bandwagon this week, given that Raheem Mostert is out today. So to me, Wilson, 5,900, one of the best plays on the slate. I still say safer floor than what you would get from most folks. So I just think he's a extremely solid play. So that's really all I got. Yeah, you can play Tyreek Hill and Waddle, but I just see it as a case where it's a bit tough to justify playing the pieces in the Miami game when you know the value's not going to be there, because they're going to be blowing out this team. It's just a matter of how long they can kind of stretch out the store, stretch out the game for. Next up, whew, man, more bad games. Tampa Bay traveling to Cleveland to play the Browns. The Browns, 3.5 point favorites. I like the Browns here. I think Tampa, their run defense is still good up the middle, but it's off the trenches that they've just getting abused. And this is one where I look at it as, you know, Chubb and Kareem Hunt have been doing the job all season long. I don't think it really disappears in that one, but yeah, I expect Cleveland to run the ball quite a bit. And on the Tampa side, There is no Leonard Fournette today. He is out, so it's going to be Rashard White. Rashard White is going to be the most popular play, in my opinion, because he's going to be over 60% owned, given that $5,100 price tag. It's just too low to ignore, and he's going to get work at the goal line whenever that is technically possible in terms of the red zone opportunity. So to me, Rashard White, almost a lock play for most folks, unless you're doing certain types of GPP contests, large field GPP contests. I don't see it working in terms of the long term implications, because I think Tampa knows that they're a bit outclassed. This is one of the few matchups where they're going to have opportunities to match up well against a defensive front. But as I said, Cleveland's defensive line is better than what most people will give them credit for. So that's going to do it for the early games. We're going to get into the afternoon games right after a break from the sponsors. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
This episode of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, many of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But what would you do if you had an extra hour to your day? Would you go for a run, read a book, maybe take a nap? What if I mentioned therapy as a way to recharge your social battery? Therapy can be a useful outlet in managing a plethora of triggers that can negatively impact our way of living without us truly understanding them if not explored further. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries to empower you to be the best version of yourself. BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient and flexible to suit your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/throwdown today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/throwdown.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, getting into the afternoon games. We have Las Vegas traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Seahawks, 3.5-point favorites. Realistically, this game, I don't have that much interest in. It looks like we're going to get rain in Seattle. I mean, this is just one of those bad weather games. Yeah, you can play Davante Adams. I'm not going to stop you. But with all the value, I could see folks pivoting to Seattle as well. Just to try to jam in lineups because of the Chargers situation pricing-wise. So DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett are both quite affordable. And you can work in different pieces around those two. So, yeah, I think it's one to be mindful of, but I'm not going to be concentrating on this game. Next up, the Rams and the Chiefs. I mean, 14.5-point spread. And the thing of it is that the Chiefs are going to dominate this game. I mean, the Rams are starting Bryce Perkins at QB because Stafford's in concussion protocol again. Wolford, his backup, he's also in protocol from a hit he took last week. They didn't have an emergency QB this past week, but they do have their emergency QB available now. It's just a case of, you know, what is he going to do to get folks on track for? I mean, I just don't understand how the Rams are supposed to move the ball on offense today. Perkins just, I'd probably bench all Rams receivers in this spot today. I don't see how they're scoring, given the fact that it's Perkins. Yeah, he'll scramble, but if you watch him in preseason, he was a rougher thrower of the ball than Malik Willis. So you guys know what Malik Willis did numbers-wise when he got a shot at the Titans starting a QB job, but did not do anything to show off there. I think Perkins in the same boat. Just not nearly enough chops throwing the ball to receivers to have folks feeling confident. Yeah, I'll say that. It's like there's just nothing there from the Rams side to make this thing a close game, which is where Travis Kelce tends to shine. So to me, this is the kind of game that calls for, you know, trying to run the ball, except the Rams can't run the ball. I mean, this is just a terrible matchup. I think KC's defense, it's $2,800. It's so cheap. I think you have to play it. Not playing it, I think it's just, unless you're playing the Jets, I just think you're probably over analyzing the potential scenarios. I just look at this and I'm struggling to see anywhere where the Chiefs don't hang it on the 49ers by halftime. It's just it's one-way traffic in terms of a actual NFL matchup. Next up, San Francisco and New Orleans. San Fran, another double-digit favorite. They're up to 10. It's Andy Dalton against the Niners defense, which has improved. But they shut down Kyler Murray. They're going to shut down Dalton. You know, they could try a few things with a couple of folks being out on the New Orleans side. But you still got Andy Dalton. They're still going to try to feed the ball to Alvin Kamara. I just don't think it's going to go anywhere. I look at it as a case where, you know, Jimmy G is going to be his usual uninspiring self, but they'll have over 200 yards passing. They'll have the rushing. Christian McCaffrey is in the timeshare with Elijah Moore, but he's still getting 80 to 85% of the workload carries-wise. I just look at this as play the Chiefs defense. You don't necessarily have to pay up for Kelce because I think he's about 7,700. Just so many different pieces. I think you could probably play a 3K Justin Watson or a 3K Sky Moore, and they're both going to do pretty well in general. Yeah, I just don't see anything that outright stands out to me in this matchup. As I said, I think folks are going to gravitate towards the Chargers game because it's the fact that you can play Justin Herbert, you can play Keenan Allen, you can play Josh Palmer, and then you run it back with DeAndre Hopkins or James Conner. I think that's where folks' attention goes towards, even though the spread on that game was 6.5. I just don't think there's any way to get off of that game unless you go to the Commanders game that I was talking about. So from a game theory perspective, I think it's the Commanders game and this Chargers game you should be focusing on and leave everything else out of it. I think this is a very simple, this is the chalk, this is what you know you probably should be playing. Don't go crazy if you don't play it because it's a well thought out. So that's all I got. Yeah, we've got Sunday Night Football between the Eagles and Packers. I'll do some coverage on that. And then Monday Night Football, we've got the Colts hosting the Steelers. I mean, that's going to be direct. But, yeah, we'll try to knock off the showdown games back-to-back. So, yeah, that's all I got, folks. So I'm going to get on out of here. But best of luck to everyone. Enjoy the games. And until next time, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.